wisdom coming from the book of Proverbs. And this morning we want to look at the value of wisdom. A couple passages that really fit well together from the book of Proverbs. So if you've got your Bibles, you can turn with me to starting off with Proverbs chapter 22, starting in verse 17. And then we'll also be looking at Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. But in these passages, Solomon really sets out what he hopes to accomplish in the book of Proverbs. You know, why should we read the book of Proverbs? Why should we study it? What is the value of it? And we've discussed already that we should value the book of Proverbs. We should seek for it like it's gold or silver or precious gems. But why? What is it that it's going to provide for us that would be of value to us and that would help us in our walk, daily walk, especially with the Lord? Well, that's what he is planning on discussing here and putting out in front of us and helping us to see how important the scriptures are and how important the wisdom of God is. And so in verse 17 and 18, actually, is the first thing that he mentions. The first value is pleasantness. Your life will be pleasant as you absorb this material and enjoy it. Chapter 17 says, "Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise and apply your mind to my knowledge." We've heard this before. This is kind of ties it in with the call that Solomon has to listen and to really absorb this material. Incline your ear. You know, you want to lean into the scriptures. You want to lean into finding, reading the Word of God, studying the Word of God, especially here in the book of Proverbs in what Solomon has written. And hear the words of the wise. So it starts with listening. And it sounds like the gospel, you know, how will they hear unless there is a preacher? And how will they preach unless they are sent? For faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And so it is so important that we communicate these truths verbally to each other and even in written form. But it is so much more effective verbally. Jesus could have just written books, you know, a ministry full of writing books. But he didn't do that. And the reason that he didn't do that was because it's so important to have personal interaction with people, to be able to hear their voices and to be able to hear the Word of God. And the more senses, of course, as they've studied these things, as far as learning is concerned, the more senses that you have involved in your learning, the easier it is for you to learn and retain the information that you have been applying yourself towards. So he wants us to listen to these things and apply your mind to my knowledge. Now, it's one thing to hear, okay? It's one thing to hear the Word of God. It's a whole other thing to put it into practice in your life and begin to make changes in the way that you do things. That's sometimes a lot more difficult, is to actually apply the things that you have learned and begin to do them. But that is what we are called to do by Solomon here, not just merely hear them, but put them into practice. You know, used to golf. I haven't golfed for quite a while, probably over 15 years. But you know, you get used to swinging a certain way, and you get that going, and then you begin to golf with somebody who's a lot better than you. And I used to golf with a man that used to play in college, and he was really, really good. And so we're golfing one day, and he just says, "Hey, you ought to try changing your grip a little bit like this." And I thought, "Oh, okay." Now, I heard what he had to say, but it was really, really hard to learn a new grip and to try it a different way. I had to kind of lock my pinky in, because I was letting it go a little bit too soon. And if I locked my pinky in, then my hands would work together as one unit. And it took me a while, but I began to apply that knowledge and began to try it. And once I got the hang of it, my shots went a lot straighter. And I was like, wow, this is great. I love this new grip. But I had to apply it. I had to practice it and try it, not just hear what he had to say about the grip, but actually put it into practice. He says here in verse 18 that it will be pleasant if you keep them within you, that they may be ready on your lips. So we're to keep these words in our minds and begin to put them into practice practice in our lives. And as we do that, it will be pleasant. Hi there, John. How are you? Good to have you here in the service today. Thank you. So as we do that, it's really helpful for us, and it really does make our lives more pleasant. Just as it was more pleasant to play golf once my shot was straightened out because I applied the new grip. It helped a lot. And that's the way it is for us in life as well, as we apply the scriptures and the Proverbs to that. Proverbs 2:10 says, "For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul." As you begin to apply the things that you see in the scriptures, it will be pleasant to your soul, and you will enjoy life better as you understand who God is, what he expects, and how to live for him. So he says also of these things to keep them that they may be ready on your lips. In order to speak these truths to others, it's one thing to hear them and even to change your own life and practice them in your own life. But as you, to be pleasant, it will be, you would want to share that pleasantness and change other people's lives as well. So you want to share these things and speak these truths to them. One of the commentators put it really well. He said, "Proverbs is a portable truth that can be transmitted to others easily." And it's so true. Proverbs is written in such a way that they're kind of pithy. You know, they're easy to memorize. They're easy to, you kind of catch them. And I've used the Proverbs too. I liken them to like t-shirt sayings of the wise, right? I love these t-shirts. And I actually got, I'm getting some for Father's Day that have some verses written on them and some neat graphics and stuff so I can wear them to work and have a witness even on my t-shirt. But Proverbs are kind of like those t-shirt sayings of the wise. Or maybe refrigerator magnets of truth. You know, put those on there and just, they're written really short and really concise and easy to memorize and easy to follow. Or even bumper stickers of wisdom. And that's really what the Proverbs is. They didn't have bumper stickers back then. Now, can you imagine somebody pulling a cart with a little carved into the bumper, you know, as a little pithy saying in Hebrew? It would be kind of funny. Maybe they could take one of these Proverbs and they could put it on there and put the scriptures right on their cart. Who knows? But to have a bumper sticker like that with the scriptures on it or something could be really helpful. And as you do that, it will be pleasant to your soul as it enters into your heart. So the second one is the trust in God. He writes these things. He gives us these truths so that it will be able to trust in who God is. In verse 19, it says, "So that your trust may be in the Lord. I have taught you today, even you." You know, one of the things that the scriptures will help us with and how valuable it is that it will deepen our faith, deepen our walk with Jesus Christ, our understanding of who he is and the world that he has placed us in, and how important that is to be able to continue to trust Jesus more and more. As we apply the grace of God, we begin to understand more and more of these things, and our trust deepens in God. And so it's important for us to be able to do that. And notice he says, "I have taught you today, even you." This instruction is for you. It's for you, it's for you, it's for you, for you, for you, for you, for you, for you, for you. Not just for everybody, but it's specifically for you. If you will apply it to you personally, because it is so written so well and is so important and is so insightful, because this book, the scriptures, is inspired by God. It is much different than any other book that is out there. It is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, being able to divide even the soul and the spirit. The scriptures are powerful, and so it helps us to trust in God, and it is for you today. We see also in verses 20 and 21 that it also confirms truth in our hearts and in our minds here. Proverbs verse 20 says, "Have I not written to you excellent things of counsels and knowledge to make you know the certainty of the words of truth that you may correctly answer him who sent you?" As you study this book, as you study these truths and what is right and what is wrong, it confirms in you the truth of God's word. It confirms that God is who he says he is. It confirms that God is the creator in all of these things. It's so important to continue to allow your mind to be absorbed in the scriptures. That's why God says in the New Testament, you know, set your mind on things that are above, not on the things that are of this earth. But we want to be thinking about who God is. And as we do that, we are drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are helped by him, and we confirm the truth that is in us. We are made certain of the words of truth. And it also helps us then to correctly answer those who might come to us. You know, this is apologetics. We use that word not to apologize for the scriptures, certainly not, but to be able to defend the scriptures as well. So as you're talking with somebody, as you absorb this material and let it sink down into your heart, then you can answer somebody who says, "How do you know that there is a God?" How would you answer them? What would you say? How do you know that God created the earth and it's not done by billions and billions of years? How do you know that? How do you know that you're a Christian and that you're going to be in heaven for all of eternity? How do you know these things? You're going to be able to correctly answer those who send to you and want to know the answers to these questions. So it's very helpful. And that's really where verse 21 comes in, the second part of that. To make known the certainty of the words of truth that you may correctly answer him who sent you. I think of 1 Peter 3:15 and how important that verse is to us. Hopefully there it is. Peter says, "But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts." Separate. Sanctify means to separate. Separate Jesus Christ as Lord in your hearts. Always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. So we always need to be ready to share with people about Jesus Christ, about what's going on in our life, how we came to know Jesus Christ, what has happened to us. And the easiest way to do that, of course, is to just share your testimony, right? Nobody can deny your testimony. What are they going to say? "Oh, that's not true. I came to know Jesus Christ when I was 8 years old." That's not true. "Oh, how do you know? You weren't there." It's so easy to share your testimony. It opens up a great way to be able to share with somebody the truth of the gospel so that they might understand. So we're always ready to make a defense. And beyond that, as we learn the scriptures, as we learn the book of Proverbs, all of the scriptures, we're able to defend the scriptures. We're able to defend the holiness and the awesomeness of God to those whom we might talk to as they ask us to give an account for the hope that is in us. We want people to see that hope. We want people to know the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And so we should always be ready to give that account to people and to share with them those truths. The fifth one is discernment. Now we switch over to Proverbs chapter 1, starting in verses 1 and 2, of course. So we're back at the beginning, finally. And notice that he starts out with this, talking about the value of wisdom and what the purpose of the book of Proverbs really is. He actually starts off with this in chapter 1. But again, we're taking it topically and kind of putting all these things together. So we're dealing with it now. But this next one is discernment. Discerning, being able to tell the difference in what is good and what is wrong and that sort of thing. He says, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. And here we get where the source of this material comes from, which is helpful for us even in being able to discern that which is right from that which is wrong. The Proverbs of Solomon are from Solomon, the son of David. That's a specific person that is the king, King Solomon, who was the king over Israel. So it puts it in historic perspective. It also tells us exactly where it came from and the fact that it came from Solomon, who received it from God. And we know that it is the Holy Spirit who moved along the men of old to be able to write down the scriptures, and that the scriptures are what is inspired by God. And so all of these truths that we have are inspired truth from God himself. But he says that he did this, verse 2, to know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding. So as one reads again and again the wisdom that is in the Proverbs and prayerfully and consistently applies it to his life, he trains himself in righteous living. This book is really a training manual for life, especially spiritual life, but all of life as well. As you read this book, you begin to understand, again, how to do life well. I mean, you always say, you know, life never came with an instruction manual. Well, yes, it does. It's right here in the scriptures. And specifically in the book of Proverbs, we have a training manual for life, if we will apply ourselves to it. So it helps us to be able to discern or understand these sayings of understanding, these wise words. Discern means to examine and observe, putting to practice these life lessons that are given to us in the book of Proverbs. So how important that is, of course, to us to be able to find this discernment. That's what we want. We want to have that kind of discernment. We want to know what is right. And we want to be able to distinguish that from that which is wrong. And how do we know the difference? How do we know what is right and what is wrong? Well, we look at the scriptures. It takes a third party outside of ourselves to tell us this is right and this is wrong. And that's what God does for us, especially in the scriptures. Even in different life situations, you know, how do you deal with people and talk to people? And how do you know what's the right thing to say or the right thing to do with other people? Well, you look at the Bible. You take a look at the scriptures and you look at the book of Proverbs, and he gives instruction on those things. How do we deal with government? How do we deal with all of these things? You know, the Bible speaks to all of these subjects and all of these topics to give us that discernment so that we would understand. Number 6 is the prudence for the naive. We see that in verses 3 and 4. He says, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, equity, to give prudence to the naive, to the youth knowledge and discretion. So, again, trying to understand how to be wise in our behavior and the way that we live, how to live righteously, how to be just and equal with other people. Now, that's a big thing today, justice. You see it all the way out there all the time, about being just and all that. How do you do that? How do you do that properly? In the context of righteousness, especially. How do you meld those two things together? Well, we find that again in the scriptures. And it gives prudence to the naive. The naive is the one who is, again, a novice, who is highly impressionable, who is open to all sorts of influences, both good and bad. Somebody who is naive lacks the know-how and the discretion to distinguish the one from the other, as J. Adams says in his commentary on this. And I think it's really helpful to see that the naive or the youth, they are able to gain the knowledge that they need and the prudence that they need, the ability to do the right thing at the right moment is what this book can help somebody with. But we see this all over the world today. So many people are truly naive. They're highly impressionable. They just believe the very first thing that comes along, and what as long as everybody else thinks it, I guess they're just going to go along with the flow and believe what everybody else believes. They're open to all sorts of influences. I find it interesting that I was reading an article just last week, a Christian article about the influence of tarot cards in Christianity today. Christians have become so naive, if you will, because they don't know the scriptures, that they're falling into reading tarot cards. And it's become a big business. There's shops opening up, apparently, of these tarot cards. And I've seen even some palm reading and different things out in Burlington and some other places. But it's becoming huge. And they meld that in with their Christianity, not knowing the dangers of inviting that sort of influence, really satanic influence, into their lives with those tarot cards. But it's become, again, a big, huge thing. That's naive. Just to believe it, oh, hey, I can flip these cards over, and it'll tell me what my future is going to be. It's like looking up at the stars and saying, oh, because this is so, that star is close to that star, or in this constellation, or in this formation, this is what's going to happen to me in my future. That's naive. Completely naive. And the scriptures will help us to clarify that and see where do we find our future hope? Where do we find what's going to happen to us in the future? Or what we should do in a certain situation? Or what decision that we need to make? The scriptures will help us have that knowledge and that discretion to make those decisions. The next one, again, about the naive, I want to mention this too. It says, the naive don't ask the hard questions either. The hard questions, they just believe everything that they're told. They don't ask, how did the universe begin? What's going to happen to me when I die? Who am I, and why do I do the things that I do, and why do I struggle so much sometimes with the things that I do? And, of course, the big one, what is the purpose of my life, the purpose of life in general, but specifically my life? What is the purpose of all of this? Again, people look for answers in so many different places, whether it's Eastern religions or tarot cards or palm readings or all those type of things. But the real answers to those deep questions is to be found in the scriptures. If we will study and apply ourselves, apply our hearts to these words, we will be able to understand these truths and be able to find this knowledge and wisdom. All right. The next one, number 7. There are 9 of these. We're almost done. But discretion for the youth. It says it gives prudence to the naive, the youth, and to the youth, and discretion. Discretion means purpose for the youth. So many youth are, they can be pulled away to all different kinds of things, and they just don't have a direction that they're going to go. And it's very difficult sometimes when you're young to understand that purpose that you're supposed to have. But that's that discretion is the purpose or choices to make. How do I make those choices? Well, the scriptures give us the understanding to be able to make those decisions, to give us a purpose, to give us a direction to go towards. And that is one of the values of the scriptures, is to help those young people especially to be able to know where to go, what direction to go in, and how to do it. So discretion for the youth even. Number 8, increasing the learning of the wise. Oh, there we go. What about those who are not naive? What about those who've grown up in church all their lives and, you know, they know the scriptures for the most part. They have passages memorized. Maybe they're even teachers and that sort of thing. They've got it made, right? They can just kick back and they don't have to study. They don't have to learn. They don't have to do anything. They can just close their Bible up and, hey, I've got it down pat, right? No. No, because the scriptures, and specifically as Solomon's talking here in the book of Proverbs, will increase even a wise man's learning. You will increase your learning even if you already are wise. A wise man will hear and increase in learning. A man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. That's the marvelous thing, one of the marvelous things about the book of Proverbs, about the scriptures as a whole, is there are levels to it, deeper levels that you can learn, and you're always learning something as you dive into the scriptures. Every time I read through the Bible, I see something that I didn't see before. Because your mind can only absorb so much, right? And learn so much. But as you go through, you're like, wow, I never saw that before. Or maybe you're going through a life circumstance and you read the scriptures and you begin to see something that you didn't see before. It really helps you. That's what happens as you're in the scriptures and as you apply these truths to your heart. You will begin to even have greater learning than you had before, even if you are considered to be wise. I'm learning stuff, especially in my life circumstance, working where I'm working. As I'm working there and coming into interactions with people, sharing the gospel, talking with people, I'm beginning to understand some of the gospels and Jesus as he ministers to people. And one of the things that I've been learning has been really interesting. You know, I'm one of these people that when I share with somebody or talk with somebody, I kind of run a feel out the situation. I ask vague questions to kind of get an idea where people are at, you know. Hey, how are you doing? You know, what's going on in your life? And you kind of find out a little bit more about them. Hopefully with the ideas I can narrow in and be able to share with them. I've been in situations where I've talked with people at work and they'll use bad language or they'll talk about things that I wouldn't be involved in. You know, one guy made a comment. A song came on the radio there, and it was about partying, and you got to fight for your right to party. And he said, "Yeah, we got to fight for our right to party." And I wasn't quite sure how to answer him, you know, because he said it directly to me. You know, I think I said something stupid like, "Well, I don't really party," it's, you know. And I thought about it afterwards, and I thought, you know, and I began to think about how Jesus would have handled that and how he handled things in the scriptures. One of the amazing things about Jesus that I began to realize is that he had a way of cutting through all the baloney and getting to the heart of the matter immediately. Now, it helped, of course, that he was God. That was a big thing. But he didn't beat around the bush. And I think, and the insight that I gained from that was this. Jesus knew that he only had 3.5 years of ministry. He knew that his time was short. He knew that he had to get in as much as possible because he didn't have time to deal with all this stuff. So he got to the point. You know, he deals with the woman at the well, and he doesn't get caught up in all of the discussion about whether you should worship in Jerusalem or worship up in Samaria. He says, all of that's not going to matter here pretty soon, but you need to worry about me because I am the Messiah. And then she still doesn't quite get it. So, you know, so what he does is he says, go get your husband. She says, well, I have no husband. And Jesus says, you're right. You don't have a husband. You've had, and I can't remember the number, 5 husbands before. And the one that you're living with is not your husband. She goes, whoa, you must be the Messiah. He just cuts right to it. He doesn't beat around the bush. And I learned a great lesson as a result of that. And that's what happens as you increase in your learning. You begin to understand things that you didn't know before. This book, Matthew Henry wrote, this book will not only make the foolish and bad wise and good, but it will make the wise good, wiser, and better. And it's so true. As you study the scriptures, you're going to understand these things even more. Do I have this book? To understand a proverb and figure the words of the wise and the riddles. Those difficult sayings that are hard to understand, you can begin to understand some of those things. 2 Peter 3:16 says, as also in all his letters, speaking in them of these things in which are some things hard to understand. Now this is Peter talking about the Apostle Paul. Peter says, Paul has written some things that are hard for him to understand. Yeah, they're hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort, as they do also the rest of the scriptures to their own destruction. So even Peter was learning things from the Apostle Paul about the gospel and about the Lord himself and the truth of salvation. And that's the way it is for us. We're able to understand more and more and more. All right, number 9. Here's the culmination of it. The greatest, I think, and this is really the theme of the whole book of Proverbs, as found here in verse 7, is the value of studying the scriptures, of understanding the words of wisdom, is the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. This cuts it down to its just most basic level. The fear of the Lord, that is a healthy honor and respect for who God is and what he has done and the words that he has written, is the beginning of knowledge. It starts with that honor of him. When you begin to understand who God is, what he has done for us, that he is the creator of all these things and that he has sent his son to die on the cross for our sins, we begin to honor and we begin to respect God and say, wow, God, thank you for doing that. Now, that's the beginning of knowledge. That's the beginning of understanding for us. Fools despise that wisdom and instruction. They just push it away because they don't honor God. And in certain places, this phrase, to fear the Lord, becomes almost a semi-technical term, meaning to be right in a right relationship to God through saving faith. Those who fear the Lord are those who are saved. Those who honor and respect God are those who are, especially in the Old Testament, are those who are saved and who have a correct understanding of the truth of God's word and a right relationship with God. So the value, again, of understanding the book of Proverbs is that we will fear the Lord, that we will have that healthy respect of him. Do you fear the Lord? Are you continuing to learn and understand what the Bible has to say? Do you want to know how to live life? How to discern and make good decisions in your life? How to be able to answer somebody who might come to you and ask you about the hope that is within you? Get into this book. Study this book. Wrap your mind around it. Struggle with it. Don't just let it hear it either, but put it into practice in your life. Change things in your life, in your walk. And you will see a difference. And you will become wise. And even wiser still as you continue to learn and apply these things in your life. Let's have a word of prayer together. Father, thank you for these marvelous truths. What a challenge it is to us to see these things. There's so much here, Lord. So much value that we gain from wherever we might be, whether we're naive or whether we had studied the scriptures all our lives. we can still gain more knowledge, and we can still find this great value in your word. So wherever we are at, Lord, I pray that you would teach us. I pray that you would guide us, help us to know you even better, and be prepared to answer those who might talk to us and who might question the scriptures or might question you, that we might be able to give a wise answer and help them in their pursuit of you and the truth that only you can give. Help us with this, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to take some prayer requests and then we'll sing our last song together. But what has God been doing in your life? What are some prayer requests? I lost my pen. I borrowed it for myself. Prayer request, praises this morning. Yeah, Ralph.
I praise the Lord. I've been looking for some fence posts to mark our boundaries of our property, and it seems to be expensive and a long ways away. And yesterday afternoon, I got a call from the tow car from Newport Center to Newport. Drove right by a farm that had fence posts, $2 a piece. Praise the Lord. Continue to need prayer for both our grandsons. Michael's still having stomach issues. And last I know, David is still battling with infection.
Okay. Did they find out what it is? Do they know?
I don't know. I haven't heard much lately. Of course, he lives in Massachusetts.
Yeah. Alrighty. Mary.
One of the teachers that I work with, his dad is ill, and he's having to drive to Connecticut and back on a few successive weekends. And that's in the midst of the last month of school. That's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a long way. I just pray the Lord would wipe him. I'd be praying for him, that the Lord would keep him safe on the road as they know he's really tired. And it's just a lot. It's the last month of school.
Mm-hmm.
I just pray that the Lord
will
be
looking
and protecting
and giving
strength.
Definitely.
Right.
Yeah, Edith.
Well, I'm truly thankful for the beauty of the springtime, the flowers that are up and blossoming, and the beautiful crabapple trees, and all those things are so glorious to see at this time of year.
Mm-hmm.
And I just ask for prayer for myself. I've been battling with fatigue since I've had COVID, and I mean, I have some times when I'm feeling really good and I do my stuff, and then it's all gone, the strength is not there.
Mm-hmm.
So just pray that my strength will return soon.
Yeah, Jerry.
I just want to praise the Lord and thank him for the desire and urgency that he has given me to read his word.
Mm-hmm.
I've been reading a lot in Peter about the knowledge, and the knowledge of his word and how he speaks to us through his spirit. I just want to praise the Lord and thank him for that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only through the word of God we're going to know how to handle situations and the chaos that comes in this world. If we don't stay close to this world, we're just gonna fall into all kinds of temptations and such.
Mm-hmm.
So I just praise the Lord for his word and knowledge. And I just thank him.
Yeah. That reminds me, we printed off some PT news from Mike Wingfield about end times type of things, and there's some out there if you want to take those with you, and I can even make more if you need it, but some really good information kind of along those lines, you know, looking at God God's word in light of what's happening in this world today. Yeah, Marion.
We have a family wedding coming up at the end of August, and this is causing a mix of reactions, as you might expect. You know, just with you know where we all are. Who knows what is going to be going to end up. Some are concerned about it. Some, you know, aren't. As you know, having a large group of people.
Mm-hmm.
And coupled with that, Ben and Andrea are planning their travel east, and I just pray that the Lord will guide them to, you know, to the safest and most efficient way for them to get back for that.
Mm-hmm.
They've done very well.
Good.
So I praise the Lord for that.
Good to see them.
Oh, yeah. Peter.
Matthew.
I'd like to just say how grateful I am on how much the Lord's provided. You know, it seems like almost daily there's another miracle.
Mm-hmm.
When I go to the mailbox and get a bill, and I'm thinking, how the heck am I going to do this? And
mm-hmm.
It just seems almost daily there's a job will come up, or I might have credit from something else. And it just seems when I least expect it, when I'm wondering, how am I going to pull off this? There's another miracle. And he just keeps providing constantly. So, very grateful.
Amen. Jehovah Jireh, the God that provides. Yeah. Praise the Lord. That's cool. Others this morning. Terry?
I just want to thank the Lord again for his guidance. I run into a lot of situations where I didn't really know what to do.
Mm.
And just reading his word and understanding and listening to the Spirit, I think the guidance of the Lord
mm-hmm.
has helped me make a lot of good decisions. And when I lean to my own understanding, I've made the wrong ones.
Mm.
So you got to listen to the Lord and his word and just realize that he's trying to guide us through his word.
Amen.
So I just praise him and thank him for that.
Amen. That's so true. Good stuff. All right. Well, let's spend some time quietly before the Lord. If there's any sin you need to confess, you can do that, and then we'll pray together. Father, I'll be quiet and let us pray silently in our hearts. Father, thank you for your forgiveness, and that we can come to you at any moment and confess our sins and know that you will forgive us and cleanse our hearts. Grateful for that. Lord, thank you for providing, even as Ralph mentioned, fence posts. Expensive as lumber is these days, just to be able to find exactly what he needed at a good price. And thank you for providing that. And we continue to pray for Michael and David as Mike deals with the stomach issue and David this infection. They're not even sure what it might be. Pray that you would heal them of these things and draw them continually closer to you and just watch over them and help them through this time. Lord, we pray for this teacher that Marion works with, as her dad is ill and they're traveling to help him with the treatments and different things. We pray that you would keep them safe on the road and just help them as it's chaotic at the end of the year and all of these things going on, and to have this piled on top of it is even more difficult. So just help them through this crunch time in their lives, if you will. And Lord, we are grateful for the beauty of spring. As Edith has mentioned, it is gorgeous out there, the trees blossoming, and looking forward to the lilacs coming out here soon, and just the beauty of the springtime is a testimony to you, to your perfect design and your glory. Lord, we do pray for Edith as she's still dealing with this fatigue since she's gotten sick from COVID. We pray that she'd be able to overcome this soon and help her body to just recover completely 100% from having COVID, and that you would just bless her and help her, give her the energy that she needs to do all that you've called her to do. And Lord, we thank you for the urgency that you've given Jerry to be really in your word and studying these things, and what a blessing and how thankful he is for the guidance that you've given to him as a result, and being able to see that in real world application and making good decisions and seeing the difference between good decisions and bad decisions. It's such an encouragement. There's that pleasantness that you talk about in our souls. I'm so grateful for that, and that you are working that out in Jerry's life, and that may be true in all of our lives as well. Lord, we pray for this family wedding coming up in August, and being a larger group and getting everybody together, I pray that everybody would be able to work everything out that needs to be worked out, and that it would be a good time of encouragement for the whole family. And we pray for Ben and Andrea too as they're traveling east. Give them a good path to come, keep them safe as they travel. Watch over them and give them a good time together on the road, we pray. And Lord, just grateful to you, as Matthew's mentioned, just how you provide for us, taking care of our daily needs and pulling stuff off that we didn't even know was there, allowing for credits to come when we needed them best. And Lord, you're just amazing how you do stuff like that, and we're so grateful for that. Pray that you would continue to provide for Matthew and his family, and we would be able to continue to give you the thanks and the praise for all these things. We ask this and pray them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, let's stand together as we sing final song.